Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is, 27.
Yeah, I just want to say, this is really not a joke with Jeff. Like, he is absolutely, this is...
I thought it was 28. It's not 28.
He doesn't...
Nigga, you just said the 27th and that was off. You thought it was the 28th?
I just did.
He doesn't do this purposefully. This is a legit thing.
And I don't know why.
Every time. Like,
but
without fail.
But I really don't know why, because when I mentioned, just look, Jeff has his laptop and his phone.
I don't want to cheat.
And when... How is it? It's not a game.
It's turned into a thing.
It's a thing.
The people always talk to me. You don't have no date.
He well, really don't. It's really, it's really, this is the beginning of Uncle Jeff.
Dementia. Yeah.
And it's the beginning of Uncle Jeff.
He's such an old nigga. Good Lord.
It's the third. Oh, man, let me go check on my check. I got to check my balance.
I ain't paying my bills. Man, I'm going to turn my lights off.
Right, I hope all your shit is on auto draft, because.
Yeah, well, it ain't auto draft, but I'm good. I pay my bills now. I do that.
I don't know.
I pay my bills. How's everybody doing?
I'm seasonally confused.
Yo, it was wild hot this weekend.
I don't understand.
So I'm a little upset because, like,
Labor Day, you was trying to get
yo,
it popping.
It was.
Yeah, it was
Labor Day. Was cold.
It was like 60 degrees.
Nigga, it wasn't like it was like 58. It was 60.
It was freezing.
It was a high of 60.
Yeah. Rainy.
So I had bought some bourbon ball tickets. So I was like,
is that this weekend?
Yes, it's Friday.
You going?
I got the tickets. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to make. Hopefully,
right. Well,
I can
you
make
think
it.
You supporting me?
But I was like, okay, I got my suit picked out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm good.
Cause I got it's winter.
Yeah.
I'm straight.
Fabulous fall.
My hat. I'm good, baby.
You
my
can
socks.
Take fall stunting.
I got fall stunting. Then. I get up, like, last week.
It's boiling.
It was 82 at, like, 10 a.m.
It was 92 degrees on Sunday.
I was in Ithaca. I was upstate from Wednesday night until Saturday. And up there was, like, high 70s, 80 during the day, 50s at night. So, you know, like, not
nice.
Super
nice.
Chill, but, like, nice. It's comfortable, right? Didn't quite need a jacket except at night, but comfortable. I came back into the city. I was
boiling.
Like, what the fuck?
Like an oven. Yeah.
And then we were in Philly on Sunday. Not a cloud.
Oh yeah, no clouds. Boiling.
Not a cloud. Like just the
hot.
Woo.
Crazy.
Yeah,
nowhere to hide.
Nowhere. I don't.
But it's supposed to slowly keep falling each day down to normal fall weather. By next week, I think we're gonna be breaking out the little scarves and jean jackets.
Yeah. If y'all don't believe in global warming, I don't know what to tell y'all.
Exactly.
This ain't normal.
I want to say. Real quick, a piece to Young Dolph, who's a rapper from Memphis, street rapper from Memphis. He got shot on Hollywood and Highland, like prime time.
Doing what?
Walking down the street.
How you just shoot a nigga on Hollywood and Highland? What time? It had to be like late.
No, it was this afternoon, like 3 o'clock.
Targeted? Like somebody was going for him?
Yeah, I would have
to. Oh, I was going
to
say it had to be.
There's been a back.
Because you're not randomly getting shot on Hollywood.
There's been a. The thing about the Memphis rappers, the next wave down, not Juicy
and
them,
Platinum. Yeah.
But the next wave down, which is Yo Gotti, this guy named Black Youngster, and this cat Dolph. They're the three biggest of the younger version.
Right.
They all have wild beef. Like killer beef. Like somebody shot up Yo Gotti's truck a while ago. That was supposed to be Young Dolph's guys. Like they're trying to kill each other.
Okay.
It's not even like, oh, we got beef. They really going for some speech shit. So I don't know who set this off, but yeah, he got shot like multiple times in L.A. So.
Wow.
It's kind of wild.
That had
there.
To incite pandemonium, because that corner is...
That's like Times Square.
Yeah, like that's crazy.
Yeah, it's like... That's where the stars are.
Yeah.
You take the pictures and the guys
fans.
Dressed up as the outfits and all that.
It's the Chinese theater. It's the Kodak theater.
Yeah.
There's a whole shopping center right there. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, so Jeez, I hope he's okay. Dwayne Wade to the Cavs.
That's official, or?
I think it's pretty official. I saw it today, it said it was official. I saw it about an hour ago. Okay. It said it was a done deal. Yeah, he signs, agrees to a 1 year, $2.3
million. Nice.
So, I mean, the Cavs, it'd be dope if this was 2012. You know what I'm saying? Like, with Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose, and there's another cat that they got that's a little older, too. I'm like, okay, this would have been squad.
But that's 4 years really, ago. But yeah.
Jose Calderon.
But the issues that the Cavs faced in going against Golden State was they just weren't deep enough.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really a benefit because, yeah, D-Wade is old. Nobody's asking D-Wade to carry the load.
To drop 40.
Exactly. What they're asking you to do is to come in when it matters. You know what I'm saying?
He ain't no punk, so ain't none of that.
You're going to get that work. Yeah, he's going to still give it to you.
Yeah.
He may not be as fast. He may not jump as high.
Yeah.
But he's still pretty effective.
Yeah.
He's still a great NBA player.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a solid pickup. And, I mean, look, man, go to Cleveland for a year. See if you can make the magic happen again.
Yeah, that's your man.
And then,
you know what I'm saying?
Go back down to Miami. Don't pay no state tax.
Yeah.
You know, get your gig, you know.
Arena will be popping with Gabby there now.
And why you leaving Miami?
He's not.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You go back to Miami.
Yeah, he'll have an apartment in Cleveland. You know what I'm saying?
Matter of fact, he might just be. Braun might have a condo. He's just throwing.
Yeah, hey, nigga, I got some shit downtown.
Shit downtown. Ain't nobody in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fake.
Tax write off.
Yeah,
man, you know.
Rock it out.
Don't scratch up the walls. Yeah. Putting that bullshit.
Start running up electricity.
You're putting that bullshit up on the walls. Khloe Kardashian, according to TMZ, is pregnant by Tristan Thompson.
So,
Kylie Jenner just announced less than a week ago, right?
The family hasn't said anything yet.
Yeah, but TMZ is pretty thorough when it comes to them because they don't want to feed them on information.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's very likely that Chris herself planned it. There's a couple of things, right? The first thing is Kim and Kanye have a surrogate right now carrying their new baby.
So you heard the rumor?
No, that one I think
the rumor is that Kylie's the surrogate.
Right. I don't know about that because I feel like the family
I feel like
the family would have made a statement, right? If it was that. But because they already confirmed that there's a surrogate. But the fact that you got Kim and Kanye with a surrogate, Kylie pregnant, Khloe pregnant, and the season 10 episodes for Keeping Up with the Kardashians, the season 10 promos for Keeping Up with the Kardashians just started.
Tells me that the ratings going to be high again.
Well, I mean,
they was dipping last season, right? Weren't the ratings
going
down?
Yeah, but it also just feels like, you know, Chris going Chris. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
Chris definitely going Chris.
Yeah, so I don't know. And like, now Khloe's pregnant. Khloe was trying to get pregnant for ages. And now that she's thinner and on a health kick, she's pregnant rather than I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's always room for skepticism.
And Tristan just had a baby? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, Tristan's ex must be like, the fuck is really good.
Yeah, Tristan even seen his baby? I mean, he got it, but still.
Was she thought he was not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know what she was, I mean, they was a couple.
Right.
It wasn't like,
yeah.
I'm leaving you and then I might be seeing her.
Right.
Like, this is
nigga,
girl.
That nigga left with his Adidas bag and went straight to the crib. You know what I'm saying? That nigga, you know.
Took his do-rags.
I'm going to say Earl to get the rest of my stuff.
Right.
Took his do-rags and his brushes and was out.
And his Xbox.
Exactly.
Nigga,
took a PS4. I was like, I'm headed across town.
Yeah.
Congratulations are in order if
that's
this is all true.
But, I mean, congratulations to them, but that's a lot.
It's a whole lot now. It's a whole lot. But
it's a lot. I mean,
congratulations, I guess. We're having a conversation. Oh, Carmelo got traded.
Okay,
forgot about that. The OKC. Just want to mention.
I'm actually really happy, and I don't mean that in a bad way. This was an absolute horrible marriage.
The Knicks of Carmelo.
The Knicks of Carmelo was a horrible marriage that neither one of them wanted to be in.
Started off good, but it went down. Yeah.
That's exactly.
They was definitely sleeping in separate bedrooms.
You know, don't be eating my shit.
Yeah. Put his name on orange juice.
All that. So I'm actually a little happy for him. Hopefully, you know, it's only a 1 year deal. A lot of folks are talking about him going to LA or, you know what I'm saying, moving around, bouncing around.
Yeah.
But I think it's good for him. I think obviously the personal shit is been taxing, to say the least.
Definitely.
You know, being I away from the hot lights in New York, I think, is going to be beneficial for him. And the Knicks needed a fresh start.
I got something to say about the personal shit. Mm-mm. And I'm, okay, always like I say, talking shit, I don't know nobody. But, look, what he did was wild, flagrant. Have we found out that did he have another baby?
I don't know shit about that.
Because apparently
I don't know nothing about that.
When they broke up, it was supposed to be because some side piece. No, she said she was pregnant. But then there's been no talk of a child, right? You heard anything, bro?
Well, pregnancies last 9 months,
Joe. I'm going to say it, but like this girl, I know, but this girl was, it's been almost that, at least if not longer, and the girl was in the news.
That hasn't been that long. That shit happened in the spring.
Yeah, I don't think
it was. Yeah, but she wasn't 1 month pregnant in the spring.
Well, what I'm saying is, I don't ever know that was ever even confirmed.
This is my point. I don't know if that was confirmed, but he got caught cheating, bottom line, right? Whether the girl was pregnant or not, obviously takes it to another level, but. So then Lala does the thing, like, where she's all on the gram, and she's posing in bikinis and tight fit, like, clothing, and on a yacht, and on a red carpet premiere, and
the whole Live Your Best Life shit.
Woman Crush Wednesday, there's trapping, and, you know, Mello will put little comments there, and they'll put on the blogs, like, he's thirsty. And I'm thinking like this, B, I get it. You know, you mad as fuck at this nigga, right? But at a certain point, what are we doing?
I mean, she's kind of stopped now.
She's been chilling. I mean, I think she did. I mean, she did that shit for a summer.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to berate her.
Maybe I'm going too far.
It was a lot, but she stopped.
And at the end of the day, man, like, you know, she's like any other woman out here. Like,
she's mad.
You know, nigga, I'm still hot too in the street, nigga.
Like, be clear.
Like, don't get it twisted.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
She's hot.
I'm beating them off with a stick, playboy.
She hot. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying.
And you know, man, she did the thing on the Power, so the titties been out a couple times.
I mean, yeah.
So niggas done got on her even harder.
I don't think it was. Listen, it looked like a woman who was dealing with a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm having a good time this summer. You ain't really see them together in no pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and just, you know, she was also, you know, enjoying her career. She was getting her shine. It wasn't about just being his wife. It was also about her shine too.
Her glow up as Keisha on Power.
Yeah, I dig it.
I'm looking at her gram now, and the last pics of any type of questionable situations was, and it ain't questionable actually. She was at the Diamond Ball, which Rihanna threw, you know, by herself. She looks nice. She's, you know, a nice dress and stuff. It looks like really expensive, but maybe I OD.
She's a lady.
I bug out sometimes. I admit that. I freely admit that to anybody. I be wild sometimes. Like,
but you're right. She was doing. It was a lot.
It was a lot for a minute. Like,
she went heavy for like 3 weeks.
It was like. Yeah.
Then it petered out.
It petered out
a little bit for another month.
I was like, okay, Lala.
And then a couple little bursts.
That's exactly what happened. Everybody was like, okay, good. We, you know.
All right,
Lala. Bryson was like, oh, all right, girl. We see you. And then
we get the memo.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah. So I got something else I want to mention. Oh, it's all coming to me now.
Oh, boy.
It is. I'm letting my mind open up, and the universe is locking in with me. And you'll be able to answer this one now.
Okay.
What is the point of this for the P challenge?
Well,
who started it?
Or it do you started know? As a I don't know who started, but it started as a for the pussy challenge.
Yeah, for the P.
And then somebody took it and flipped it
to for the D.
I think it's just for entertainment.
Okay, because I'm like Issa Rae did it today, like Erykah Badu.
Yeah, I think it's just on somehow every once in a while, like how there was
something
a soul
catches
gone,
away.
Like how there was a soul gone challenge and people were freestyling over. The soul gone instrumental. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I think it's that kind of thing. Like, people want to clown and show off their little skills. There's no more to it than that. I mean, it's nobody's particular song. It's nobody's particular, you know. I definitely hit my girls up like, yo, when we doing one?
Are you doing one?
I might.
I mean,
I got bars. Shit.
You got bars?
I have bars.
Let me hear 4 bars
nice
right now, please.
Nice key love. Nigga, you ain't
nice key love.
Sound by law, baby.
Because I'm not going to do right now, because I'm not in here as an artist. I'm in here as a commentator.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And also,
Jeff went full A&R. Let me hit some bars right now, nigga.
Spit it right now.
You got some beats? You got some beats?
Nigga said, I'm not in here as an artist right now.
I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the couple that I've seen. I saw the Issa Rae
and Gina Horn. And I liked Erica's been my favorite. Because I was expecting Michael Blackson to jump in. Because he jumped in so late. I was like, oh shit, that was fly again.
There's a girl with shades on, and she's got the black girl head wrap. Mm-hmm. She's a little heavy. And
she go in.
Yo, she fucking destroyed it. As a matter of fact, I sent it to y'all in the text. But I got
lost. I think
you
did. Okay.
But, yo, she destroyed that shit. Yeah. Man. Yeah, it was pretty entertaining. Man.
All right, so peace to the P&D challenge. Maybe I was just being a little grumpy. And I want to say peace to this. Whoever, I don't know who this girl is on the gram, but it's another clip that's been floating around. Mm-hmm. Some girl with straight up heels and a dress on. Breakdancing.
Yo, killing it.
How?
So,
I just want to know how.
I don't know how. And not even the heels, but her dress was tight.
She was in a dress.
Yeah, her dress was tight. Yo, yeah.
She never once stumbled. Nope. She never once was unsure.
She's her upright was so steady.
She had been doing that. Yo. She's been practicing that.
No, she was in a crew. I think
not
she was
even
in a crew.
No,
yeah,
I'm saying
dance crew, yeah.
But not,
crew.
Not just the dance moves. She's been practicing that in shoes that dress. Like
right.
That.
Yeah. Like she does that at weddings. Like that's what she does.
You has to. It's impossible.
Like they tack her in. Like go ahead.
You can't be that sure on your first go round.
Also, she humbled the shit out of me because me and my friends, we get our little old school dance challenges going at weddings and shit, in our good shoes and our dresses. You know, you like lift up your dress and get it moving. I thought we was doing some shit.
She's probably a choreographer. She's probably a dancer. She's probably a professional dancer.
She had that body type.
She had the whole shit.
Absolutely. If you told me she was touring with somebody in late 90s, early 2000s, I would not be shocked.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know her name.
I don't know where it was at.
But she was
dope. She murdered it.
Peace to her. I just had to give her love.
I have one thing I need to mention that you guys may or may not have seen. And I meant to mention it when it first came around, but There's this column called Ask a Manager, and
I think I've seen that, and
it's on Twitter. So sometimes people write in and they have like questions about stuff that's going on at their job, and some of it is really ridiculous. Like I think Sean, you and I were talking about it, but I can't remember if I brought it up on the show when an intern like started a petition about like wearing certain shoes and all
this
stuff like that.
Yes, they want to wear flip flops.
Yeah. So anyway, and they all got fired. So this a few weeks ago. Maybe even a month ago, this person wrote in who's an expat and works in education, and they wrote in because years ago they had ghosted. Now, this ain't even ghosting. This is abandoning. Ghosting is when you're dating somebody and you just fade out. This person was living with their girlfriend of like 3 years.
Okay.
Girlfriend went home for Christmas. They wanted to break up. They didn't know how to deal with it, so they just moved out while the girlfriend was gone for Christmas and like never spoke to her, never talked to her.
Just gone.
Just gone. This was like 10 years ago, but they still to this day had not reached out to her. Found out she was about to be their boss.
So they wrote in panic,
like, what do I do? Blah 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 blah. But even in the way they wrote in, everything was about them, right? Like they made it really minor.
How I feel.
Like, oh, she made a scene. She was reaching out to family stuff. Of course, she was reaching out to family
she
stuff.
Knew he
I
was
come
dead.
Home, you're gone, nigga. You probably left me with the rent bill.
You know what I'm saying?
Like the lease. And also, how do I know you didn't get kidnapped by the motherfucking mafia or so? And also, like, what happened? Like, why are you gone?
Did he explain the letter why he left? Like, why?
No,
he
was
her?
Just like, and the way he went about it, so like the way he phrased it so nonchalantly, my guess is that they weren't even fighting. Oh, he said they wanted different things. I guess she wanted to settle down and he didn't. But my guess is like they weren't even fighting or anything. He was just like, I'm just gonna leave, right?
Sound like to me, he done found him another girl to curl up under.
Maybe.
And
he said he had just got another job. So not only did he move out, he moved out, left the country. He didn't tell her shit. And again, like I said, he's an expat, so he always works out of the country. So everybody was like, whatever, you deserve whatever you get. I hope she fires your ass. I hope you have to quit. Because he was also like, it would be really inconvenient for me to quit. I can't just find another job, blah, 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 blah. And it's a very social, the school is very social, and I'll be ostracized. Like, again, it was just all him. So he sent in an update that was basically like, he reached out to old girl, like emailed her. She didn't respond. So not sure if she still used the same email address. Then he emails her work address. Then he emails HR, but doesn't go into specifics. I guess email HR, like, there may be an issue with me and Miss whatever, whatever. The very next day, the head of the board of the school calls everybody in for a meeting, says, listen, this isn't anything for you to get fired over, but you guys have to have a third party when you meet. You can't talk about her to your coworkers, not even like water cooler talk. And we don't want you fraternizing with her outside of school. He decided that was too complicated, so he resigned. And his, okay, but his
what's
whole,
going on with this?
But okay, his whole shit nigga, was man? Like, his whole shit was still like, so all your commenters got what you wanted. I'm without a job, and now I have to move back to the States. And I don't even
he's
understand.
He's leaving out a
and
huge I, chunk of
yeah,
the
he's
story.
Yeah, he's like, I don't even understand why she had to bring, you know, the head of the board into it. First of all, you emailed HR, which means that you probably bought the head of the person into it. But still, everything was about him. Like, he was totally a victim.
Yeah,
and it's
I
just like,
understand.
So I just want to say peace to you, you asshole, whoever you are.
Yeah,
you totally got what you deserve. You're totally, like, unself-aware of anything. And that's what you get. Like, this was karma, like, on 1,000.
Yeah, I don't, again, but he's leaving out huge chunks of information because he keeps running
yeah.
from her. Like, he left and he said, then and he just quit his job because she said something. He leaving out a big chunk of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm talking shit again. Maybe she had a... She's pregnant and he didn't want to be a dad. Like,
but
he,
this was
the
10
way
years ago, though.
But the way he keeps running away from her...
He was hoping that somehow it would work out where he could just work there and it'd be all good, but he was worried about what she might say about him or all this other stuff. And he was like, yo, she seemed totally fine with everything, but the board director or whatever,
cover their asses.
And he was in the meeting with her, but also, like, you emailed her twice. And knowing him, and like the way he's just come across in his letters to this column, he probably emailed her on some shit like, yo, listen, I know shit was really awkward, but I just need us to be able to get past. Like, there was probably no apology. There was probably no whatever. He was probably a dick.
At this point, he should have just kept his fucking mouth shut.
I wonder if it's
because she probably would have just kept her fucking mouth shut and just been like I'm keeping my job. Like, why would I even jeopardize this shit?
And she would have probably died with the next man anyway.
She's married now.
That's what I'm saying. So they ain't worried about you. Clarence taking care of his baby. It sounds like there was a baby involved that he left out.
I don't know.
Because the way he keep running away.
It's a white boy.
He's such an old black man.
But also, like...
Somebody got some cheering.
Yeah, somebody got some cheering in here because it ain't no make no sense how he keep just, like, literally running away.
Literally. But also, literally, the fact that he was like... But it's also, he's one of those dudes, it's kind of like the Lawrence thing. Like you're a fuck boy who thinks you're a
cool.
good guy. And the fact that the thing that seems to bother him the most was the fact that he can't, like... He said this in the first letter, and he brought up in this one, the fact that, I guess, whatever the culture is, like, because of education, all the teachers and administration, like, they fraternize. Like, they
of
hang
course.
Out, and they go to dinner.
That's what teachers
and he
do.
Was really stressed that, like, I'm not going to be able to be part of that. And that,
I'm
going to
be on the outside.
Yeah, and he was really, like, he's the cool. fact that the board said that was one of the conditions of him still working there was, like, not meeting with her one-on-one, which, so what? And B, not being able to actually, like, hang out after work. He said that was too... He didn't see how that was sustainable. And it's like, what?
Whatever.
So anyway, shout out to you.
Yeah,
and also, shout out to people who don't think that karma comes back. Be
it
mindful
does.
Of how you fucking end shit, because that shit may circle right.
It does. It does. Oh, I meant to give a yell to the Imagine Me Leadership Charter School. I went out there
yesterday.
I
saw you
yesterday
with the youngins.
Yeah, yeah. with the little babies.
What kind of wisdom you was trying to impart to the little
You know
ones?
What it was? It wasn't. You can't really tell a lot of wisdom to them because they was in third or fourth grade.
Right.
I just let them ask me questions.
What
did
they ask me?
You know, little kiddie questions. Right. You ever work with Drake? You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. You know,
yeah.
like little kiddie stuff,
yeah.
you know? But a piece to the dude who spoke, me and my man Sydney, who's been on the show before.
Sydney's been on the show before?
Yeah. Were you not here today?
Yeah,
clearly.
You weren't here.
Okay. Hey,
yeah.
Kid.
A girl he went to high school with runs that charter school.
Okay.
So she invited him to come out. Sydney's actively trying to get more involved and trying to get Atlantic more involved in doing stuff with kids
Good
and schools
him.
And stuff. So he's like, he coming out here. East New York, man. So, it was good, man. The guy that came on before us, though, he claimed he was a retired cop. I told Cindy that nigga's lying, first of all. He was young. Like, he was right. like, he said he was like 46, 47. He retired after 25 years. So he jumped on the force. Because the cops I know, You there's an age requirement to retire.
No, I know it? Cops who retired in their
40s. I thought it was 55 or 30 years.
No, it's 20 years. Or 25 years.
I'm sorry, 22 years. Right. I know for a lot of civil servants, they raised it to 22 years.
What
I
mean, the raggedy in his suit was too big. Oh. And it
which
was,
means
and
he's probably a retired cop.
But no, I mean, this nigga was lying. He was the poor as hell. And he was on there like, listen, y'all better get it together because your friend's going to lead you down the wrong path. If you do it, you're going to end up in jail. I'm like, these niggas are 8 years old. Yo, he was trying to scare
children. He was scared.
Yo, he was scared children.
He was waiting for the dope.
He's like, I knew a basketball player, 6'7", helped a guy rob somebody, he played a game, and came and locked him up at the game. Mama crying, you better watch your friends. I'm like, bro, he's in third grade. And this school is a school of exceptional kids.
Right.
Like you have to have certain grades.
It's a charter school.
You have to even get in, yeah. So, I mean, of course, they live in East New York. The school's right across from some projects. I don't know which one. So, of course, there's dangers in the neighborhood.
Right.
I guarantee I'm saying you got a baby in, but like, he was coming at them like he was a spy foot.
I bet you he was one of the most lazy-ass cops that they forced to retire.
It didn't feel like he was a quality.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. Because usually, if you got 22 years, you've been in a department and you've been like you've done this before.
Yep.
Yeah,
like guys who got 25 years, they spoken at schools,
absolutely.
They speak in front of people. Like they're better at being orators.
Yeah.
Right,
like, this is what they do for a living.
Yeah.
You move up your rank.
You might have speaking for a community board or something like that.
He probably was an old regular-ass beat cop getting 65 on his test every time.
Yeah.
And they probably was like, look, Earl.
Yeah, you come on.
Look, you know, probably it might be better for
name
you.
His name was Willie, actually.
Willie. Oh, there you go. There you go.
His name was Willie.
So, Willie. Anyway, but you know, peace to the chillins. It was just nice to, you know, to talk to the kids and whatnot, and you know, the faculty was very appreciative of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was just a nice thing, and they did a couple of dances for us and all that. So it was nice. It was real nice. You know, apparently that school's doing really well. Like Steve Harvey's supposed to come to the school and speak, and like they're getting tickets to go see School of Rock because of their, you know, their grades and stuff.
Wow.
Like, it's like apparently they're becoming nationally recognized as a charter school that's doing, you know, excellent work. So it was good. So that's one I wanted to mention that. So let's get into this thing we was talking about right before the show started, which is Cardi B. So, of course, I'm biased. So I have to, you know, lay it out there. Cardi's on Atlantic Records, you know, so I'm a little biased about the record and the movement. Obviously, very happy for it. She was by the office yesterday and we presented her with plaques, and they had cupcakes for her, and they had, you know, Peace to Marsha, who had dances with bottles and stuff.
So Cardi's old co-workers from Sue's were acting as bottle girls.
Oh, is that who those girls were?
That's what Cardi said, but
I mean, probably.
But Sue's closed, so who was responsible for finding the girls who used to dance with
Marsha told me she found the dancers. I don't know if that was based on Cardi's connects or whatever, but I mean, I don't want to try to get no trouble here. The way they moved, they were definitely dancers. Like the way they, you know, you can know when somebody does that, you know what I'm saying? How they kind of move their body,
right?
You know, and I don't mean twerking, I mean just their whole demeanor, their presence is like, I do this. So, but it was really nice, and she was very appreciative and happy, of course. Her record went number one. So then right before the show, we were having a conversation about the Cardi phenomenon in general. And, you know, bro has some interesting points on it. Do you want to expound on those points now?
I mean, obviously, for those of you guys who don't know, I also have a vested interest with Cardi having been associated with
Love & Hip Hop.
And she's got Mona Allen Bodak.
And I think that... So what I was saying was, I was a bit apprehensive of how the press has handled her most recently. And I was saying that I felt like everything up until maybe the last couple months have really been organic.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, really people feeling good. It was a feel-good story.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like it is turning into Cardi for clicks. and almost sort of propping her up to this unsustainable, you know, idolization almost. Like, I saw somebody from Complex wrote, like, she's the, you know,
oh, yeah, they said something like she's the champion, hero. She's the hero for people of color, which that's taking it way
but that's,
too far.
But I'm saying, but yeah. but
like that's way that's.
But
way
that's what I'm. That's what I honestly. That's what I was referring yeah. to. Mm. Like I feel like that is a detriment to the trajectory right. of her right. career because I feel like it puts her in crosshairs right. unintentionally that she has nothing to do with.
Mm. Right.
And it will, because this is such a beast, and we know how fans are very, very fickle.
Mm.
And even prior to Twitter, we worked in the music business. We understood how you can go from sugar to shit
yeah.
in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Like, my nigga, Ja Rule was literally the hottest artist in the country.
Right, mm-hmm. right, right.
And the following year, he couldn't buy a mm-hmm. fucking record.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Where mm-hmm. did all that support go? So I was saying all that to say, I hate feeling like I'm seeing people use Cardi's success and her glow up for artificial clicks and unnecessary attention.
Well, I think what's going to happen is, obviously, as soon as any artist like Cardi goes mainstream, she becomes a little bit of a novelty, right? Like, there was a clip of Miley Cyrus, who had just got finished talking about how she's off the hip-hop, and now she's about conscious rap and whatever, singing Bodak Yellow, mm. taking the stage. And, you know, a bunch of us look like, get the fuck out. Didn't yeah. you just fucking do a whole article
no
about
like
this?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
And Azalea Banks went in today. Did you see that?
Of course. I mean, of course.
Not surprising. She went in saying that Cardi's a poor man's Nicki, and what the white people at Atlantic are propping her up
whatever,
because she's Latina and not black, and black people should have had that shot, but they gave it to Cardi instead.
Well, Azalea, if you've been on your meds, you could have had that
well,
shot.
Well, also,
so,
too,
like,
I think
that.
I think that we...
There is that.
We are sort of ignoring the fact that she is likable. Even
right.
Even when
and
she...
And genuine.
And even when she's not. Even right. when she fucks up, she has made it... she has figured out a way to navigate those fuck-ups,
mm-hmm.
to navigate those mistakes in such a genuine way that people aren't, you know, looking to rag
her down. Yeah.
Right, right, right.
But I do feel like there is a growing sentiment that a little too much too fast. But that's a part of the culture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think across the board. Look, I want to see her win because I just think it's dope. You know, and I've also said, too, like, I don't think that the record is amazing. Like, when I listen to it by itself, I don't think it's amazing. But I'm super happy for her because
right.
I feel like she put the fucking work in.
I feel like she definitely put the work in. I feel like she's genuine as fuck.
Yeah.
I feel like she is really...
And happy.
Yeah, she's enjoying this ride,
mm-hmm.
which I really appreciate. The fact that she's enjoying this ride so much, the fact that she is so clearly grateful and humble makes me want to... go for her
yeah,
all the harder,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, I do think, listen, she has to put an album out to follow that shit up. And we'll see. But you said, like, even her mixtapes are really cohesive. And
yeah,
dope.
The first two mixtapes are, I mean, this song comes off a mixtape.
Yeah. So, she still has to put an album out. But I think as long as Cardi remains Cardi, because honestly, Nicki, this is what Nicki was supposed to be. Just on some organic, like,
mm-hmm.
whatever type, you know, street shit, and she got into the poppy shit too fast.
And she also started, like, with the crazy,
features,
yeah,
and the
crazy, yeah, the crazy
yeah.
hair, and
yeah,
she became a cartoon.
She made it, yeah, she went for the gimmick too fast and got away from the music, frankly. And I think if Cardi can just walk that line and keep it together and just stay true to what people
yeah.
love about her, like her accessibility and the fact that people feel like she could be their girl, their homegirl, you know, and not be a mean girl, and just do her, and still put out good content, like, she's good.
I think she did an incredible thing, you know, right around the Love & Hip Hop thing, which is when we talked about that at the reunion, was, like, she really exposed that, you know, she had some
sense.
And well, she had feelings like it fucking bothers me when people talk about me crazy.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Because we are so used to
like,
you
know, y'all just hate us. It don't matter.
Yes.
Fuck y'all.
And so
y'all
saying
just,
that,
yeah.
I felt like that again opened her up to a genuine space. It opened her up to being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that even up to now, everything is not her made up. and dolled up, she still might throw out a IG video of her with no makeup on. And,
she was in a limo with a robe, a scarf, drinking something from a Waffle House cup. Like,
what? And that's and it doesn't feel like I need to do this because I'm carefree black girl, or I'm carefree not black girl, but I'm it's just what she is, man. And that's what I mean by the organicness. And I just feel like the press, and in particularly, I will say, I know she's becoming more mainstream, so I'm really not even referring to like the Times pieces and things like that. I'm really referring to the more upper echelon of the, like, the blogs, you know, like the Complexes and those sorts of folks
are
I just feel like it's Cardi for clicks. As much content as they can get for her, as much content as they can get with her, they want to try and put it on there, even if they're repeating themselves, saying the same old shit, or just being hyperbolic to and putting her in the crosshairs that are unnecessary.
I also think, I guess I'm giving somebody a free one. They might have already written this, but Cardi, again, she didn't. I don't think this was by design, but the first thing, well, she was on the gram previous to even to the show, to the Love and Hip Hop show, and a lot of her posts started to feel very feminist. And then I don't think it was her. Like, I'm a feminist, but she was just kind of like, you know, in her street way, saying basically like, "Yo, girls, you know, we don't need niggas. Like, you don't gotta deal with this bullshit." Right. And like, check out how like women are put this way and men are put that way. She was doing a lot of those. And then when she went on to the show, she would say some stuff on the show sometimes in between, kind of goofing as a character.
Well,
and then hold on, let me finish. And then when she went at Peter Guns.
Well, I was gonna say, that's what really
was that was the culmination of that feminist movement. Like, hold up. You're a piece of shit, and these two girls are like fighting over you, and they look crazy, and I'm calling it out as opposed to just sitting back and watching them fight. I'm like, hold on, why are y'all fighting over this piece of shit?
Right.
Then after that, so then this leading to this Bodak record, and that's kind of what I was trying to explain to you before, bro. When that Bodak record comes on, I mean, now it's a phenomenon, but it's on its ascension. Mm. When that Bodak record would come on, I would watch, and like, it was like a feminist anthem.
I don't know
I'm telling you, girls would scream those lines.
I know, because I'm a woman who screams. I'm a woman whose friends scream those lines. It's not that it's a feminist anthem, because nothing in the lyrics is necessarily girl power as much as it is up on some boss shit. That can be for a nigga, that can be for a chick, that can be for whomever. It's more just like, it's catchy and it's flowy and it's some boss shit and it's great. It's not about, oh my God, I feel so empowered by Cardi's song. It's just like, this shit is hot and it flows, and I'm gonna rap it and I can have fun rapping it, and it's a fun song and it's catchy. But like, except for like, if I see you, I don't speak, that mean I don't fuck with you. That's not even a feminist thing. Like, anybody can get, that's some New York shit, first of all. Yes. But anybody can get behind it. And we picked the mantle up and then it trickled down. But like, I think that's really what it is. It's so fucking New York, and it's so who Cardi has always claimed to be. And it's not even, like I said, it's not even on some feminist shit, but the same way, like, Who Shot You makes me feel when that shit comes on, that's how Bodak Yellow makes me feel. So it's not even so much about, I am woman, hear me roar. It's just like, don't fuck with me, I got, you know what I mean? It's a whole different thing. And I'm one of the women who reacts when the shit comes on. But I see niggas act that way too when the shit comes on.
Yeah, I do see niggas go hard, but I see girls go harder.
I'm actually, like I said, man, I'm really happy for her. I'm really happy for the success. You know, again, obviously, I have a vested interest in seeing that be successful. That's a great look for us, right?
Yeah, of course. Like,
but, you know, I don't want to see her trajectory interfered with prematurely, because people want to almost ride that wave to look
the
popular,
hot shit.
Because it's the hot shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, you know, come on, Carl. I've been hearing she got another one. I haven't heard it. I was going to hear it yesterday and I had to leave to go see the Chillers. Mm-hmm. But I hear she got another one, so I'm excited to hear that. But I want to talk about this Biggie Tupac documentary thing that we saw. A couple nights ago on Fox.
Fox.
Apparently there's another one on A&E, which I didn't see.
Well, started,
That's a series?
No, it's two different. It's two totally different things. The A&E was specifically about Biggie. Just Biggie.
Oh, only Biggie. Okay.
Only Biggie. They did not have all of the same accesses to this. This actually tapped into a bit more Big's personal. The A&E doc tapped into a bit more Big's personal life. His mom.
Okay.
Life with Faith.
Okay.
You know, scooping, seizing him up and taking him with him. And just sort of his, you know, him going from this sort of young dude hustling in the street to, you know, being a rapper.
Okay.
The Tupac and Biggie show that was on Fox was actually had Ice-T and Soledad O'Brien sort of being the narrators and the journalists
about the killing of Biggie and Tupac.
Of Biggie killings. And Tupac
and they weren't solved.
Yes, and they were meshing them together. They were showing sort of in a chronological way what led up to their beefs. There was some audio, I don't think that was ever really released, that, you know, had Big talking.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear all of it because I jumped into the program a little late. But it was, I mean, for those of us who had lived that, especially in New York, a lot of this was sort of, I like to say, barbershop knowledge.
Yeah.
If you were sort of in the know, you sort of knew what happened. Or you had an idea of what happened. Mm. But yeah, it was they broke it down. And on the Tupac and Biggie, when they had a lot of folks calling in, they had Suge on the phone. They did
what was that about?
Well, they had Suge on the phone because I'm sure he could use. I mean,
to say he didn't do it.
If you're a producer.
I ain't did it.
If you're a listen, you're not going to get anything from Suge.
Right.
But you never know.
Okay.
You never, like, you put
it's
a guy
just
like
a moment to
you
be
put
like,
a guy like that.
You don't know what he's gonna say.
You don't know what he's gonna say.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because he said the shit about if Tupac is even dead.
There you go.
Yeah.
And like, then, like, but you know what? If Suge said that shit in like 2001,
it'd be like, yo,
through the road
with it.
Yo, he in Cuba.
Yeah, he in Cuba. Because that was where Pac was for like 5 years.
Yeah, he in Cuba, chilling. There's pictures.
So. But they had
it was a good show.
Yeah, they had a couple folks on there that had that was sort of setting the scene and giving context to the time.
Yeah, and they would go to certain, they would like went to Quad.
Yeah,
and the guy
and showed
the,
like where
the show they went to the party and I was telling you on the text I was at that party.
Yeah, everybody
known in the music industry was out there that weekend.
It was Soul Train. Was the BT Awards hadn't popped off?
Yeah, it was Soul Train.
It was Soul Train Awards, and so I went out there with my ex, and went to the show and then went to the party. And I remember the party specifically because the further was a big place. It was that car place,
the automotive museum.
Yeah, it was packed. Right, and the first, I always feel like I always want to say DJ Clue DJ their party. I don't know why I always think that. Maybe he did.
That might have been about right at that time.
So the first part of the party, they played all West Coast music, mm-hmm. like, you know, Snoop, Dre. But then they started going like hard West Coast, like Quick,
right?
West Side Connection. You know what I'm saying? Like Sugar Free. Like it started going like deep West Coast. So it was just total mixture of basically like a gang of New York people and a gang of LA people. Of course,
with some
others,
Atlanta people.
Yeah, I should say gang of East Coast people
right.
and a gang of West Coast people. Yeah, with Atlanta and Chicago, whatever mixed in. And so the first part of the party, they said they're playing, you know, Dre and Snoop and them, and we with that. But they said the deeper they go into the West Coast stuff, like we all like, oh,
what the fuck is this?
So then it became just all West Coast people dancing to that.
Right.
And we're just kind of standing there like, all right, wild tension in the air.
Right.
And then, because Pac was dead by that point, wild tension in the air. And then the DJ, again, I'm sorry, Clue, if it wasn't you, but if it was, whoever, he just, at some point, just stopped that shit and like, bum, 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 bum.
Right.
And he put on Bad Boy stuff and New York stuff, and the party went nuts.
Right.
Like, niggas is like, it was like a video.
Right.
You know, Big and Puff and all these niggas there in the corner and Monk Pierce and everybody's dancing. Right. And, yo, what up, nigga? Y'all at? And we having a blast. And I remember dancing and like kind of glancing over, and West Coast niggas just staring at all the people on the dance floor dancing.
Right.
Like, how dare you New York niggas, East Coast niggas, be in our city, in our building, dancing so hard, having such a good time, while we're standing over there watching you niggas.
Right.
And not carefree.
Right.
So, after the party, it was definitely, you know, rumblings of, you know, the West Coast niggas is kind of mad about this party being flipped into some East Coast shit. And there was a couple after parties, and I remember, I'll never forget, Steve Stout was having an after party in some house in the Hollywood Hills, and I was like, I'm not going up there, I'm going home. And we got, me and my ex got into this whole argument, because she wanted to go to the party, and I was like, I'm not going to the party, I'm going back to my hotel, I'm chilling. So she went with some friends to the party, I went back to my hotel, she ended up not getting in, because it was chaos, and came back, and then 5 in the morning, my man Marvin called me, and he was like, yo, they got him. And I was like, what is he talking about, man? I'm sleeping, like, I woke up, what are you talking about? They got him, man. Got who? Got Biggie. I was like, what are you talking about?
Right.
He's like, yo, Biggie, they killed him. And I'm like, what?
Right.
So I hang up and I tell her and we kind of trip in. But I had an early flight.
Yeah.
So I got up at that point, got dressed, you know, whatever, got my shit together. And I'm walking out the hotel and I run into Kirk Burrows and Jeff Burrows.
Well, in the lobby. Tom was GM of Bad Boy, right?
Kirk was GM and Jeff was head of marketing.
Okay.
And they was the only niggas in the lobby.
Right.
It's like 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I looked at them niggas. I was like, yo, is this shit true?
Mm-hmm.
And they both looked at me like with the, like the death stare. Yeah. Like, they just kind of shook their heads like, yeah. You know, and I guess they were trying to just figure out what the hell they was doing. And I jumped in my car and went to the airport. And I saw KG Finotti on the plane. He was on the plane. And he has a box. And I forget, he had a box. He just looked at me and I just looked at him. Mm-hmm. And we just shook our heads like.
Had
shit.
A box like a
like a music a, box. You can still carry shit on the plane back then, yeah.
But why do you even have it? It's 96. Okay.
Because I guess iPods weren't really popping at that point, and you know, I don't. Maybe he's playing the CD player thing on there. I don't remember why.
Okay.
But whatever. I mean,
right.
Yeah,
you remembered it.
Yeah, and then obviously, you know, everybody knows what happens after that. But I just remember that tension from that party and that party being popping.
Two things about that story that I think are worth bringing up. And it's so crazy. The first thing is just how insane Soul Train Awards used to be.
It was the thing.
And like it was BET Awards before BET Awards.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, like.
But the thing about the Soul Train Awards, to me, in hindsight, it was actually, Steven kind of fixed it for a minute. It was actually better because the Soul Train Awards had a wider span.
Right.
So you would see like Whitney Houston and like, you know, the top R&B people, but then you would see the top rap people.
Right.
For a minute, BT was kind of in here, Steve was starting to open it
up. They're starting to narrow it back down again.
Yeah, they are.
But yeah, like Soul Train Awards is where Bobby and Whitney hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like Janet would perform on Soul Train Awards.
Michael
performed on Soul Train Awards. Like Soul Train Awards was some real shit.
It was some
y'all
real
need
shit.
To put some respect on Soul Train's name. But the second thing is, even if you were in the mix in that East Coast, West Coast moment, it feels so fuzzy now. It feels very far away sometimes to remember, like, how real that shit was. Yeah. Like, it wasn't a music battle. Like, that shit was really real. And, like, even if you were friends with somebody on the West Coast and you were on the East Coast, like, it was, like, you had to claim a side. It was, like, crazy. And even though just Death Row and Bad Boy were in the center of it, which is also kind of crazy that it was really just about two rivaling
record
labels.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was intense. Like, it was really,
intense.
Really intense. And it's really hard to remember that now when you see the way collaborations flow.
And how everybody
just
moved
around.
LA
and, yeah, and half of New York. Yeah, half of New York music. Two-thirds of the New York music industry has moved to L.A. And how niggas just move around and fuck with each other and all that stuff. But for that those couple of years, it was tight.
I actually went to the video set, too, when they shot the video when he's hypnotized, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to the set because I was in town and my cousin, I was like, yo, we're going to go to the set, you know, whatever. And like, I remember, like, just them being, like, really comfortable.
Well, that's what
and I was
people
like,
talk about how Biggie was smiling in the video and he, like, never smiled.
They were just very, they weren't really tripping. And I was kind of like, why y'all niggas not tripping? Like, why y'all out here shooting a video in the middle of LA outside? Outside.
Because Pac was
and this is, yes. And this
and
is
because
why
they had
I
the
say,
gang niggas around.
And this
him,
is
I
what I say, too, man. Like, you know, even though we talked about how Flex might not have been the person to sort of voice that concern, that was the vibe. I think the vibe was like, yo, this all of this shit is off a lie.
Yeah.
Mm.
All of this is over a lot. And
off
I think
quad,
they felt
off the quad,
off
studio,
the quad
shit,
studio
yeah.
shit. And I felt like they really felt like this is not going to keep going because this is a lie. This isn't really a beef. Like,
right.
Why are y'all still, you know, making this a thing?
But Pac was in such a state of mind, and I'm sure Shug was just able to like,
part,
fuel
and,
him.
And that's how,
and
LA, that's how the
able,
LA
like,
people
keep him moving.
LA
yeah.
people don't believe in ending beef.
That's what, right. well, that's what.
That's the gang culture.
Part of what Big was saying was he felt like, in that audio, that I don't think had ever been released, is saying he felt like Pac had just gone down the road so deep.
Couldn't get back out.
Talking about what you said, that he had become a character in that movie.
That's exactly mm-hmm. what he did.
And he could not escape the character in that particular movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to keep going, and he had to keep going.
Yeah.
And that's why he just kept his foot on his neck and kept pressuring and kept pressuring. And obviously with guys like Suge and also, too, these are the most powerful record labels on the respective coast at that point.
Absolutely.
They were moving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yes, when you are moving like that, especially at that time, Fast Money had just slowed up. Mm. So there was a lot of
street cats
that were
warming their way into that life.
That were figuring, that was sort of navigating that space. Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting. They went into detail about, you know, the quad shooting.
Yeah.
And talked about that. And again, I think that it's fair to take the, you know, the summation from that particular show was that this was all on a lie.
Mm-hmm.
That they had nothing to do with that shooting. And they actually had Haitian Jack via Skype.
Yeah, which was amazing, stunning
DR.
To me that he did that.
I mean, you know, look, he's in DR. He can't.
Like, yeah, no. I know he can't get arrested. I was just, he doesn't do press. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
I think
just
it
like,
was
whoa,
just.
Okay.
I think
you
that,
said it was Ice-T, right?
Yeah.
I'm saying that was
somebody definitely, and you can see that there's a point in the interview where Soledad is pressing Jack and
to tell.
Yeah, and you can see Ice just kind of
like
chimes
chill,
in
chill,
like,
chill, chill,
well, this is the part where he's not going to say
yeah,
any more than he's
yeah,
comfortable
yeah,
with,
yeah,
sort of
yeah.
understanding
the street rules,
the culture. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, he's not going to say more than that.
Yeah.
Like, let it be.
Yeah.
And yeah, he talked about it. He talked about what happened. The, you know, he was the third person that was in that room
mm-hmm.
when that young lady was assaulted, or that was the charges that were filed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he went into detail about it. It opened up a lot of dialogue. I mean, I sort of hate that it took 20 years for this dialogue to open up and for this to be a real thing. But hopefully, man, these guys can, you know, finally, you know, rest in peace and we can finally, you know, maybe move on. But, you know, also, too, man, as somebody who did security, man, like, that shit was scary, dude.
Yeah, it was.
Like, it was scary. Like, I can tap dance on shit, and I could, you know, a lot of niggas like to, you know, wax poetic about how it was net there.
Nah, bruh.
It was fucking intense.
It was
really intense.
It was,
and this is why, and you also hear about the story where the guy Gene is talking about how they kept lingering around outside the party.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, when we talked about there was that shooting in San Francisco, I think it was Chains and his people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kept saying, you got to move with a purpose.
Yeah. You got to go.
You cannot stay. If you linger, you can't make out who's following, who's who,
yeah.
who's
right,
what.
Right,
what.
Right, right.
When you moving fast and they following you, then they moving fast.
Yeah.
And you can spot them.
Yeah, yeah.
Immediately.
But if you just chilling.
And all that lingering, dude.
Right.
Oh, my God. It changed everything. There were a couple things that I didn't know. Even how, you know, he told dude to hit the lights, but he was the first car.
Yeah.
And dude that was driving Big, you know, and you know, no shots to him, but he didn't follow.
He got stuck at the red light.
Normally, protocol is
we out.
If I'm following you and you running the light,
I'm running the light
too, because it's a ticket.
Yeah,
right.
Fuck it, it's a ticket. Yeah,
you know what
I'm saying? I'll pay the $85.
Whatever.
So, I mean, if you could, you know, stream it or whatever, catch it on YouTube or something, you should check it out. It's pretty interesting. Also, want to mention, I went to see Bruno Mars Friday night.
Dope.
At the Garden.
I wanted to see that show, but I wasn't in town, but that shit.
He's doing Brooklyn soon. He's doing Barclay, and he's also doing Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah, today. He's doing Prudential, I believe. Okay. I believe. But yeah, your man is a beast. Not surprisingly, but like
he's two.
That's what I'm saying. Like he's literally. I mean, my best comparison, and this is a very old comparison to most of the people who watch or listen to the show, is he's Sammy Davis Jr. Like he can dance, he can sing, he plays all the instruments. Yeah. Like he's funny. You know what I'm saying? Like he can do literally.
He's a star.
He can do everything. And you know, again, not surprisingly, the band is tight as a fucking drum. They are, you know, they got a couple casting like horn players. So they doing like, you know, Casey and the Sunshine Band type of dance moves, and you know it's a very engaging show with the audience. Like everybody, like it's, you know, again because he's been an entertainer all his life, he knows how to like, you know, there's like little breaks where they're kind of being funny and they're doing little stuff and like, you know, the 2 hours or whatever just flies by, and the audience was interesting because it was literally as mixed as possible. There's like, you know, young black cats, older black people, like, you know, young white, young black, gay, Asian, kids, like 8 years old with their parents. Like, it's a little bit of everything. So, again, I highly recommend seeing him. He's a great entertainer. Let's talk about, let's really just mention Anthony Weiner. He got sentenced to 21 months in is it federal prison, I believe?
Oh, I don't know. I doubt it.
I think it's New York State.
Okay, state prison, yeah. He hasn't started his sentence yet.
November 6th, he turned himself in, yeah.
So, man, that's... his wife's still there.
No, she's not.
I thought they stood together.
No, she wasn't in the courtroom, and she already filed for divorce.
I thought she rescinded that, though. I thought that they...
Because they said when he went to the crib, he went to the crib, and she came in behind him. Like,
yeah, after the last time...
I think she's still with him.
After the last time when he took her laptop and everything imploded with Hillary, she left. But then I thought she came back. I don't know, though. You might be right. She might have left.
Yeah, look it up. But I think she's still... But regardless, like, man... Imagine having to go to jail, period, is disgusting. Having to go to jail at 53 years old?
On some pedophilia shit.
On some pedophilia shit at 53 years old, like, and a known face, like a known person. And ain't like you could, like, people don't quite know that's you or whatever. Like, people know who Anthony Weiner is. Like, that's got to be horrendous. I mean, you think they'll put him in PC the whole time?
He's probably not going to go to a violent prison. He's not going to go to a max security.
Like Clinton or some shit.
He's not going up to Denimora.
Go to like country club.
Not going to be in Elmira and all that shit. Them wolves will have that.
Woo!
So, he'll probably be at some mid-security prison.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'll be in a PC. I mean, he was a U.S. representative. I'm sure they'll probably at least in the beginning... You know, for the first few months, just make sure everything is cool and that there's no issues with his safety. I mean, you'd hate to have, you know, this guy, you know, fucking stabbed 35 times in a cell somewhere.
Because, yeah.
You know, so.
But, Jesus, man.
I mean, this is a part of his pattern. And, I mean, he clearly has some issues. He was sexting multiple women.
Well, apparently, some girls.
This was the only teenager that know about.
Okay.
So again, I don't know. It sounded to me from reading this, and I'm not trying to, you know, sort of dismiss or push away the pedophilia, but it definitely sounded like he had more of an addiction to sex and
sexting
and this sort of behavior, and he had gotten mixed up. And I don't necessarily know that it was, I want a 15-year-old
girl. No, it wasn't. He was being messy.
He just grabbed it. Yes. She just happened to be 15.
And he was being messy.
Yes. And listen, he deserves it. He deserves some jail time.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's fair. I don't think 21 months is unfair. Like, you'll fucking live. Okay. You'll be okay.
It's just, Weiner is really low-key. At this point, it's like, fuck him. But I remember when the scandal first broke. I really felt for him because Wiener was on his way to being a career politician.
Yeah.
And he would have won the mayoral race.
Yeah, he would have been the
he
mayor.
He was going to be the
and
mayor.
And then maybe a senator, maybe yeah, a
like,
presidential
like
president.
Yeah, like he was on...
a really smart guy.
He was on an amazing trajectory. He was really well-liked. Like, he was really well-liked. Yeah. And yeah, he was the front runner for mayor. Like, he would have definitely won. Yeah. And this shit just... And he bounced back after the first one.
And did it again.
And did it again.
That's what I'm saying, my
like,
dude.
Like, that's crazy. Like, you bounced back. Like, he had a little... He was like a little talking head pundit for New York One. They gave him a little show.
Yeah.
Like, he probably...
His show... I should watch the show. Was it bad?
Yeah, like, especially...
I should watch all the fuck nigga shows, man.
No,
it was on New York One. It was
Ricky
like...
Smiley.
Wait, hold on. I done let up on rolling. I don't fuck with him no more. I do Ricky watch.
Alright, he definitely was, especially for New York. He was absolutely on his way to being a career politician.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't, you know, grow nationally, he absolutely had the profile in New York to stay
absolutely.
Here and do some things for a while. But more than anything, man, like, you know what? Like, you got fucking caught.
Yeah.
Okay.
You and
didn't
then you
stop.
Did it again. And then you did it again.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, mad like, times.
Yo, and your name is Wiener. You can't be out there like that when your
and,
last name is
and
Wiener.
I feel, I mostly felt bad for his wife and kid.
Yeah.
I mean, mostly because, I mean, how many times is this woman supposed to have egg on her face?
Right.
And more than anything, man.
She stuck with him for, you know.
Yeah, because I think, and listen, I don't mean to sound harsh or you know, disrespectful to her. But, you know, listen, I think she's a career climber. This was a partnership.
Yeah.
In career
working
growth.
For Hillary.
I don't think I saw a picture of him with her and I'm like, he fucking outkicked his coverage. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she's good looking.
Yeah, she's a good looking woman. Mm-hmm. She's younger. This was clearly I'm hitching my wagon to this guy who's moving on this trajectory.
Yep.
And we're gonna be this sort of power couple. Mm-hmm. Like her boss.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So she'll figure it out. She, you know, she'll be right.
All right. We got to mention Wendy Williams.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's public knowledge now. I mean, bro, if you want to be low, you can be low. I get it. It's all good. We ain't trying to mess up nobody's situation. But it came out that Wendy Williams' husband, Kevin, has allegedly... I guess we should still say allegedly.
Yeah. I don't know, bro. There's like 82 pictures.
I know, okay. But I'm just... yeah, I mean, it's a hard allegedly. But allegedly, I guess, for lack of a better term, been having an affair with for 10 years with the woman named Shamira Hudson. Yeah. And they live out in Jersey. And, you know, he used to live in a condo in Fort Lee. He moved her further out to where Wendy and he live, 9 miles from... Wendy and he's home.
Let me give you, and just stop it. I just want to give a little perspective.
On the Jersey thing?
9 miles.
In
right?
Jersey?
That's a bit, it sounds.
Close?
Yes.
It's not
as close as it sounds.
Yeah, it's not.
Okay.
Because.
But it's closer than Fort Lee, which is like 30 miles.
In terms of, I'm telling you, dude, it's not as far. I mean, the distance is very weird. It can be very weird.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You live out there. I gotta
9 miles may not mean highway miles. That may mean back road miles.
Yeah.
That still might be 22 minutes,
true,
25 minutes.
True,
I just wanted to give that perspective.
That's
because
sound like he just moved
it,
her next door.
Basically, right? Yeah. When you read 9 miles, it's like, nigga, y'all got the same hole.
Right.
Basically, yeah.
Y'all going to the same gym.
Yeah.
9 miles away.
Yeah, but it's not.
But especially in Jersey townships, like y'all just got your own little enclave.
Yes,
and shit.
Each township in Jersey operates in and of itself.
Yeah,
have counties, and then you have the township.
Yeah,
but
her name is Sharina, not Sharima. I don't know if I said that wrong the first time, but
apparently Wendy addressed it.
I saw the clip. Wendy addressed it today, but she addressed it again. I'm trying to tread here because I'm not trying to, you know, talk crazy about nobody's marriage situation, because whatever works. But she addressed it in a way like almost like on some hood, like she just held her ring up, you know, and
like,
then the house cheering, and then she's like, yeah, me and my husband we drove in today together and everything's fine.
So it was non-addressing.
It was just like, yo, but like of course you'll do that all the time, but that doesn't mean he fucking his girl for 10 years and still not fucking her.
Like your
life didn't change, and I don't think he does plan on divorcing her, but it doesn't mean that it's a lie in that he's in this, right. If it, or he stopped. It doesn't
mean that's
at
probably
all.
Why she did a non-addressing, because again, not trying to judge Wendy and Kevin or anything, but especially if you've been listening to Wendy since like the Hot 97 days,
mm-hmm.
her whole relationship with Kevin has been public. It's always because like he even proposed to her like one of her birthday when she used to do the big birthday bashes or whatever. So these rumors. Well, I mean, there's at least one that's confirmed. Like, she has confirmed that when she was on bed rest with Lil Kevin, Big Kevin was carrying on a whole nother relationship. That one is confirmed. She's addressed it. She's talked about it. She said they moved on from it. But there's been, you know, multiple lawsuits for people who work with her radio,
BLS.
Mm-hmm. for people who work with
the company
at the TV show,
mm-hmm.
Against Kevin for harassment, you know, whatever. There's been multiple rumors, whispers of Kevin's treatment with Wendy. So like none of this,
and there's pictures of him and Shireen, like a lot of pictures of them together.
So none of this is necessarily surprising. I guess what's surprising me is that the Daily Mail found this interesting enough to camp out for a whole fucking year and dig this shit up.
And it's a long article. Like, it's a lot,
of detail. It's a lot
of detail. It ain't just like a little blurb. Like, it's like a lot of detail in this article. So, I mean, look, my thing is, again, I'm not on here to like to dog Wendy or say, oh, yeah, that's what you get, nothing like that. I'm just like, hey, man. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, again, talking shit, if it's been 10 years... She had an inkling before this article came out.
Right.
And if she's fine with it,
who are me to judge?
Who are me to judge? You know, Kev got two gals. You know what I'm saying? He can afford it, you know, financially.
Yep.
And the other woman, I don't know anything about her either, but it's been 10 years.
She's a massage therapist.
Yeah, it's been 10 years. He met her when she was 22 years old. She's 32 now, obviously. She ain't seem to be going nowhere neither.
Right.
So, live and let live.
Yeah.
This type of shit, though, with Kev, he better get back in that gym, because this type of shit drive you to your grave early.
Yeah.
Dead ass. Like this type of shit, you be 60 and dead, because you going back and forth. Like, it's a lot.
I feel like he's probably not that stressed about any of this shit.
I think
he's chilling. Like, it is what it is.
Well, I'll say this. He did not look stressed in the pictures that we saw.
Definitely did. He looked like...
None of the pictures. With Wendy on vacation.
He looks like he's lost weight in the past few years.
He does.
Like,
his belly's down.
Yeah, I remember thinking, like, Kevin looks younger. So, he's fine.
His belly's down. And he looks like he's like... With Shireen, look like they a regular couple. Like, yeah, we went to get something to eat and stopped by the CVS and got my medication and went on to the damn house.
And I'm not even going
to
judge
her. She's basic.
She's wild basic. And your girl's like in a sundress but got on like Nike flip-flop slides.
Yeah.
Like, what? And I get the tomboy shit. Like, I'm not saying, like, I wear Adidas soccer slides and shit. But I'm like, what?
I was absolutely surprised at the Daily Mail.
With this hard
effort into, because Kevin is not a personality.
No, people don't even know Kevin on. Like, you see Kevin.
He
don't
does
know who
not.
The only reason you know him, it might be him, is because of the cars, the flashes of the cars.
And even then, you only know if you know.
Yes, yes. You don't recognize him. That's the
true.
He's not a recognizable person, especially outside of people who don't really follow Wendy like that.
True,
you know what I'm saying.
True.
Yeah, I guess it also speaks to how big Wendy must be now that this is. Something worth, because the Daily Mail isn't even a U.S. publication.
And to be perfectly honest, like, this isn't even news now.
Right.
Yeah. This isn't even news.
Yeah.
This broke yesterday.
It's already over.
This is not even news. This isn't even a thing. No one has talked about this in like 12 hours.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Where do you think Kev sleeping tonight?
At home.
Where he want to.
Yeah. I agree. Where he wants to.
Yeah, wherever you feel like.
Maybe not leaving Kevin.
I'm not saying that there's even trouble between Edwin and Kevin's house. I'm just saying when he driving up Route 46 or wherever it is he got to go, where he turning off?
You making a left?
You making a left or you making a right?
Wherever it take him. I mean, look, man, at the end of the day, she, like you said, she raised the ring. She's mm-hmm. the wife.
By the way, Shireena has a ring also.
Yep.
Yeah,
a big one.
Okay.
I mean, God bless, but it's a big-ass ring.
Whatever, but right, like it's.
Keep doing what he gotta do to keep her.
Listen, on paper,
because she don't waste all her years.
Because that's where it matters.
He married the Wendy.
Yeah,
on paper, and that's and I've always gotten a sense from her that she was one of those people. Like that's my husband. We're
no matter
married.
What.
You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this shit is unbreakable and
yeah.
unshakable.
I'm not, yeah,
and
yeah.
whatever. You know,
and honestly, this I believe I agree with you being right about all that. And I also think this, I'm sure, like financially, it's just so entangled
yeah.
that getting out of it is would be
Kevin,
a mess.
And in fairness, Kevin has not been idle.
Oh yeah, no, he's not. He's not. Yeah, he's not.
Yeah, he's not a dude that's just kind of peeking his head in.
He's involved.
He has been involved.
Yeah,
no
doubt.
In a big portion of her growth,
no
like,
doubt.
They've been married over 20 years
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
You know, 20 years ago, Wendy was on the radio doing local, good,
yeah.
but
not like
not
this.
Like you know, nowhere near like that.
Yeah.
So
I just I just wanted to address it. You know, I didn't want to raise no ruckus. I just wanted to say something about it. Wanted to say peace to Puerto Rico.
Word.
Cause that's
and we're so sorry because this motherfucker could care.
This motherfucker was disgusting. He said he going down there next Tuesday.
Yeah, but I think they had to put a kibosh on that with the backlash because now I see that they're talking about sending Navy ships. I think where they mismanaged the message is that FEMA's pretty much out of money. They get
from Florida and Texas.
And Texas. And they get, if I read correctly, they get like some kind of surplus coming in on October 1st. So I think that was the reason he said they were going to put the request in for assistance like in the next couple of weeks. It was just really poorly worded. Not to mention the fact that Puerto Rico's, like, this shit didn't just happen yesterday. Like, Puerto Rico's been struggling for a minute now, and the administration just addressed it. Like, just addressed it.
Yeah, but this piece of shit went, goes on
like,
Twitter yesterday and
yeah,
basically kind of
yeah,
says,
they,
like,
yeah,
yo,
they
in debt.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we got to, but like, yeah, we got to address that at
we
got to
figure it out. But like, basically, like, yo, that's fucked up, son. Like,
right.
they cut your power off, or, you know, they said you was 2 months behind. Basically,
right.
like, yo, my man, like, they're U.S. citizens.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's such a dunce type dude, like, I bet he don't even realize that they're actually citizens.
I think somebody had just told him they were citizens.
For real.
Yeah,
right. US, we, nobody's talking about the U.S. Virgin Islands,
right.
which is just as fucked
right,
up.
Right, right, which is
we just keep talking about Puerto Rico, which deserves discussion, but like, you know, St. Thomas, is that's just gone
like,
too.
Well,
and they ain't
I
been over there neither.
I can tell you from experience, we have a house in St. Croix.
Okay.
And I spoke to the guy who stays on the property. And St. Croix has been without power.
And since no, that should happen.
No power, no water. They've been operating on a curfew on the island.
Wow.
They basically get like 4 hours.
What's that, 2 weeks now it's been? Almost 10 days?
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
They get 4 hours a day.
To like sort of go
to move
out
around.
And do what they gotta do. And then the guy told me that there were a couple of shootings based on looting.
Yeah, because people's getting desperate.
Yeah, he said the issue became that when St. Thomas and St. John caught the first in the Irma, they were helping them.
So that
they
put
were
them
sending
in a fucked
supplies,
up position.
And
yeah.
that diminished their supplies. So when they got hit with Maria,
they were down 50% anyway.
They were already on decline, and they said that you know he was like, yo, massive. Basically, the entire property. He was like, the trees are down. You know, luckily for us, we have, my mother-in-law wasn't there. So, you know, I'm glad about that. But we have a concrete structure.
Okay.
Right. The last things that we did, like I had them do concrete roof, all of that sort of stuff. So
it's most sturdy.
Yeah, we have some damage, but it looks like it's minor damage to some, in comparison, in relatively speaking, it's minor damage. Like a coconut tree, like popped up the water line.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, no, again, no one's in that portion of the house.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like I went to go to like Home Depot. I was going to order like a chainsaw so he could start to, you know, at least clear out and be able to get in and out of the driveway. You know, Home Depot shut down. There's nothing moving. There's nothing happening. I need to get keys to, you know what I'm saying? Like, what am I going to do? I can't call the post office. Post office can't get to him.
Right.
You know, and he was, like he was saying, the other thing is like, all of the people that are helping right now are trying to help literally clear highways.
They so people can get in and out.
They, dude, we're on a tertiary street. Like, we're not even on a secondary road. So, by the time they get to us, maybe a month. Damn. You know what I'm saying? Again, relatively speaking, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, because it could be way worse.
My mother-in-law wasn't there.
Yeah.
Everything else, it's I what, really, it's, whatever. Yeah, it's that great. Shit,
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think the thing with Trump is that somebody noted, I can't remember who, but when Trump finally started tweeting about Puerto Rico, apparently someone, I guess maybe the mayor of Puerto Rico had just been on CNN talking about how
the mayor and the governor have both been on TV.
So once again, he's responding to something he sees on TV. And I think that somebody probably had to like kind of pull him to the side because there are people inside his administration who's saying that he's loving this NFL shit, like he's getting a kick out of it. Because he thinks he's quote unquote winning, and while they're trying to detract, while they're trying to like turn his attention towards other things, he's like, nah, I'm not, because he's enjoying this shit, right? And also because it's getting him a response from his fucking disgusting ass base, obviously. And so it's like, I just, nothing he does can really amaze me anymore. But I just don't understand a man who is wasting time and energy on this, which is an issue that you really shouldn't be chiming in on as president unless it's to support the players' rights to exercise their constitutional right to free speech and demonstration, right? But instead, like, you're doing all this to be like, no, the NFL owners need to institute a rule that you have to stand for the national anthem. I'm like, have you ever even, like, has anybody ever even outlined the Constitution? Have they ever even given you bullet points?
No, he don't understand.
What the fuck? Or, you know, if not the Constitution, the, what is it? The Bill of Rights? Mm. You know, has anybody ever actually just give you a quick one sheet on it? Clearly not. But also, the thing with his obsession with the NFL is because he wants to be an NFL owner so bad.
And they said he tried, and the owners were like, fuck out of here.
They shut him down years ago.
Yeah.
And they have never really... That's what I always say, you know, when he talks that billionaire shit, like...
He ain't really
a part of their club.
Nah.
Bloomberg even said that. Cuban has said that. That's a club. Yeah. They don't really fuck with him. They kind of laugh at him. He's too loud. He's you know, untamable.
Yeah. He also doesn't really have the money.
Uncouth. And, again, that's the other thing. His bread is not as long.
Real shaky.
You know, his bread is on paper.
Yeah.
Like, you're a billionaire because you own, you know, this building that's, you know, $900 million.
Right.
You owe $870 million on it,
right? Right.
Yeah.
You know, but it's actually worth that. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, look, you know how I feel about him.
Right.
I'm exhausted with him.
And people are going to say, well, NFL owners gave him money. They did that because they thought he was going to help them protect their wealth.
Can
but
I
now
just
he's
say
fucking
something?
With their
Can
bread.
I just say something with that, too?
Because I was going to go into the NFL thing anyway.
Okay, that is not as big a deal, I think, as people are lasering in and making it.
Right.
Rich people, in general, give money to elections.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides.
Mm-hmm.
With regularity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, yes, it is not uncommon for billionaires who, many of them, for a lot of these guys, this is not their only business.
Right.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is...
Most of them, it's not their only business.
Most of them have made their money elsewhere.
Yeah.
So what they... When they get a president that would be lenient on... Or if they can get a president that's going to be lenient on regulation, generous to them in tax reform, give them the ability to operate and make more money, who the fuck wouldn't do?
It's not about him personally.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're making this as...
they fucking with Trump.
Yes,
they're fucking with the GOP.
They might very well maybe fucking with him in a white supremacist sort of way.
Right.
I'm just saying that's not the smoking gun
that
I think people assume that it is.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, I mean... So going into the NFL shit, so he... goes to this rally in Alabama Friday night, and you know, of course, it's in Alabama, he's all ramped up and shit. And like, to me, makes maybe up to this point, because I'm sure it's going to be more. We're only 8-9 months into his term. To me, he makes the most racist speech he's ever made.
Now, let me jump in a little bit, because I listened to NPR Politics.
Mm-hmm.
And what they talked about was that that particular person that he was campaigning for.
Is it Mo Brooks?
It might be. I can't remember the guy's name. But the guy...
But he's super problematic. No, he's campaigning against the guy who's super problematic, but he supports the guy who's... It's weird. Like, he's...
He's
there's
basically
one
like,
candidate
I'm,
who he's like, I
whoever,
fuck with
whoever
him,
wins,
but
I'm
actually
with
supporting
you.
With the
yeah,
other.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason that he was out there, because they said that there was a... all of the data was showing them that there was a low enthusiasm, and they had the potential to have low voter turnout.
Okay.
Because it's a replacement election. That's why he was out there. So I'm saying that to say, they gave him those nuggets of this is a low energy space.
Right.
Luther Strange and Roy Moore.
Go out there. So Luther Strange was who he was supporting.
Yeah,
that
Luther
was
Strange.
Who he was supporting.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They were saying that that guy was in jeopardy of losing based on low voter morale,
low
voter turnout, mm-hmm. low energy. I say that to say, that's why he came in with the dog whistle and the guns blazing, because nothing is going to get the Alabama guys riled up like
right.
that.
Like
right.
racism. Because he's up there saying stuff like, they're trying to destroy our legacy.
Yeah.
Like my dude. Like, you know what I'm saying?
He's very clear. He's very clear.
He's very clear.
He's very clear
yeah.
what
this
he's saying.
This ain't even dog whistles.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. He's very clear in what he's saying. And I think that there is... there's something to be said, because I almost feel like, is he, I know he believes a lot of this shit, but I'm wondering, like, is he just looking for the adulation?
It's both.
Because when you listen to him speak, you can hear him sort of
responding.
Almost getting hard on
yeah.
when they cheer.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing, right? The reason that he doubled down on the NFL thing is because of the response. Whatever he gets a strong response from during a rally,
mm-hmm.
he doubles down on it after that rally.
Mm-hmm.
So, because his thing is like, that's what's getting the reaction, I'm staying on that. And you could even hear it, like you said, he was like, yeah, if you... gonna kneel for the national anthem, you're fired. And everybody's
yeah.
like, yeah, he's like, you're fired.
Yeah,
you know, it's like,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
just like,
yeah.
He's responding to the, that's everything Trump does. Everybody's like, what's Trump's strategy? What is Trump's core beliefs? What is Trump thinking? Trump is of the religion and theology and politics of Trump.
Of himself, yeah.
He does everything he does. He makes every decision he makes based on what makes him feel good. He is super ego. He is the id walking and talking.
Mm-hmm.
It is all about self-gratification. What is going to make the people adore me? What is going to make me seem powerful? What is going to make me feel strong? What is going to make me seem like the big man? And what is going to get me attention and love and reaction?
I hate that we, those of us on the short end of his speeches,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
continue to get riled up
when he says shit
yeah.
because he is the greatest troll in the history of the country,
yeah.
in the world.
He's excited, like, when you get upset.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He loves it. Every minute, anything he can do that can make you squirm or look uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
or feel uncomfortable, he gets a kick out of it.
Yep.
And you know when he doesn't do that? When you fucking ignore him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they fed right into it. And listen, I understand that a lot of these NFL owners were sort of backed up against the wall, because, you know what, you go down to your fucking labor force, and your labor mm-hmm. force is 75% black.
Yeah.
Right.
So guess what? You need
They're
to
looking
show,
at you like, the fuck is
yeah,
good.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You got to
yeah.
show some support. So listen, I think that at the end of the day, what we saw Sunday was social theater. And
right.
a lot of these niggas are out here looking
Ray
to...
Ray Lewis.
I mean, Ray, and you know, Ray is what Ray is. Like, Ray hasn't changed. This is what I talked about before. You flowing with the tide of the water doesn't make you great.
Yeah.
Like you now coming around to the side of right,
yeah.
doesn't make you okay with me. You know, like when I heard, like, somebody sent the clip of Rex Ryan talking about
fuck Rex Ryan.
Now I'm not. I don't.
I'm appalled by this.
Like, dude, he fucking shitted on several groups of people, and you were okay with that? Like, yeah, you were perfectly fine with that until he talked about football players.
Yeah, three right.
And now that he talked about football
players, now it's like, I'm appalled.
All bets off.
Because now they fucking with y'all's money.
And Rex, you know, introduced him at rallies. And like,
That's what I'm saying, man. So, like, all of these guys who want to sit here now, and you want to fucking lock arms, like, you know what?
Locking arms shit corny as fuck,
man. And a lot of you niggas didn't want to take a knee. And that was okay. But now you want to take a knee because he calls your sons of bitches?
Yeah.
Because you niggas weren't taking a knee
for
a very long time.
Right.
Cap was on a fucking island.
Yeah.
Alone.
And niggas was shitting on him. Like, why you got to do that, man? We should have played the game.
So let's not start that, you know, even with the Pittsburgh Steelers, this idea of I'm going to keep everyone in the locker room, like, dude,
that's just basically opting out of the whole thing.
That's basically saying, I'm going to take away your ability. Yeah. Yes, I'm going to take away your ability to use this platform.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck are you to, like, you know what I'm saying?
They told
me
I can't come out here.
It's mind-blowing, man, but you know
what? But there was real bug because the Tomlin and the staff were out there. Dude, the team was in there.
Dude.
He's out there
right.
with his hand over his heart. I'm like, what?
Because he needs to appease fans. He doesn't have a union in the way that the players have
true.
A union. Right. He needs to appease fans. He needs to have a good amount of credit with a fan base, especially fan bases that are as passionate as people like the Steelers. Like, he ain't in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
The motherfuckers barely come to the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's... at the end of the day, what we have realized is that these motherfuckers with the social theater have basically gentrified Cap's fucking...
Absolutely.
Cap's...
They've taken all
the sting out of his shit.
The other interesting conversation, especially when in the same time we have LeBron speaking out so openly, first calling Trump a bum on Twitter and then being in a press like, yeah, I said it and whatever. And also, of course, Steph Curry saying that he wasn't going to go to the White House as part of the championship team is the difference between and having Greg Popovich
Spurs
speaking out in like a really real way.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between the power of an NBA player and the power of an NFL player. NFL, you're much more vulnerable.
Yeah.
You're so much more vulnerable, and, you know, your job is much less secure, and there's more of y'all, right? So, like, somebody was 53. Even saying, with the NBA, like, each player means more to a team. LeBron changes teams. That changes the entire shift of the league, you know, but somebody in the NFL changes leagues. It's like, so that's also interesting to watch the different dynamics in what coaches, owners, players are saying in these two different
There's also a very I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but the George Carlin has this amazing bit
about football and baseball. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there is a very fallen line militaristic angle of football. It is how you are taught, it is how you're raised. Even when it comes to basketball, on how the game is played, there's a bit of self-expression. There's the ability to sort of do things off script or off book that's encouraged. And yeah, you're right. It does make a difference because I don't want to put... Listen, I'm not going to kill these guys for not taking a knee either.
Yeah. You're right.
Like, and let me say this. Let me sit up.
Oh, you got to sit up.
Yeah. Because a lot of you niggas, you get on Twitter, okay, and you turn into Malcolm X.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Malcolm. You niggas got up there and was daring people, and not just you niggas on Twitter. A lot of you celebrity niggas, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
What y'all gonna do, NFL?
Putting enormous amounts of pressure on, I'm 41. Those are kids, most of them, to me.
22, 23, 25-year-old
kids. What the fuck? Why would you put that sort of pressure on a kid that's 24 trying to change the course of his family's life?
Right. Yeah.
And you would put that sort of pressure on him and make him feel like he's less than a part of this black fraternity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because he didn't want to do it, or he didn't want to participate.
Right.
Because guess what, nigga? You niggas sit down and you don't say shit when Clarence and Pam get shitted on, passed over, mistreated.
Mm-hmm.
At the job. You know what you niggas do? You niggas is kikiing at the holiday party.
Yep.
Okay? With the same oppressive ass supervisors that shit on them, mm-hmm. talk down to them in meetings.
Yep.
So all you niggas that get up here and start talking about what somebody need to do at work, you niggas can kiss my ass.
Yeah.
All you niggas is frauds,
that's
okay?
Real.
They fired Clarence for stealing toilet paper, nigga. You wasn't down at HR with your fists up.
Saying give him another chance.
You did the, what's the nigga face from the gift?
Oh, the side of the side.
Hey, nigga, like,
yeah.
You know, and because guess what? Because guess what, nigga? You got to put food on your table.
Right.
And your kids don't eat pride, my nigga.
Yeah,
so we can sit here and we can tap dance on this shit all we want to. A lot of you niggas have watched people be mistreated in your place of business and in your operations and even in front of you. And didn't say a fucking word.
Yeah.
Not a word, not a peep. You niggas was quiet as church mouses.
Yep. You're right. I mean... the other thing about this whole shit that's been irking me is like, okay, Nick, the Trump clown nigga said things about the son of a bitches. But in the meantime, yo, you got North Korea basically saying, yo, what's good?
Like yo, you're about to feel a froggy jump.
Yeah, be like, what's popping, son? Like, we can do this starting today, right? You got all the stuff, Jared Kushner and six other people being called with private emails. You know, the Russia shit is like, your mother's like turned it up to level 25. You know, obviously, the things we talked about earlier, the lack of funding for Puerto Rico,
Houston's still fucked up.
You know, the lack of funding for the Virgin Islands.
The healthcare bureau, which is a win for us, but your healthcare bureau, Donald Trump, is failing.
He hasn't passed a piece with Twitter fingers. Exactly. And you ain't passed one piece of legislation, and again, we getting distracted because he said, you know, football players are son of a bitches, and with all this other shit going on. Like, I'm like, yo, man, like, he's supposed to have a press conference earlier today. I don't know if he had it or not. And my thing was, like, I don't want to hear no press person ask him nothing about no football.
He doesn't even do...
Don't ask him about that shit.
He doesn't even do... This is all out of his range.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
This is all out of his
range.
This
is white privilege 101.
This is the... There has never been a white man that more was fitting for the saying of, he was born on third and thought he hit a triple.
Yep.
None. Yep. He is completely, and I'm beginning to feel like the people who are actually running the country, because clearly he's not running shit.
Right.
Are actively allowing him and want him to be away.
Yeah. Right.
Go do Twitter.
That's why you still do the rallies.
Go do rallies. Go do all this shit. We'll do this.
Let us know.
And I think
you don't need to read this shit. Just sign it.
And I think that's how his business is operated.
Absolutely.
Probably,
yeah. You know, which the business has just been his name branding. He has licensing
and shit like
that. How much you gonna pay me for the license? Let's go.
That's it. So I think that it's just amazing, and I said this before, excuse me, on the show, even as much as I hated the right wing, I never thought in a million years that they would let the office of the presidency
go to this level on a national,
you know what I mean, on an international level, right? Like,
but this is why the whole world is looking at it. The GOP sold their soul, and I mean, when history looks back at this,
it's going to be horrible.
Yo, you know what, man?
This is my thing. Back to what you were saying. Something that he says a lot, and I think it kind of really sums up, we're going to wrap up, but it really sums up exactly what you're saying and how he thinks. When he talks about the healthcare bill, he says, just put it on my desk and I'll sign it.
Right.
So
he's
it's like,
not
you,
explaining
fam,
it.
You're not explaining it.
Yeah.
You ain't reading it. You ain't telling people why
much,
it should or
yeah,
shouldn't
it's
work.
It's very much an assignment he gave them.
It's like, I gave you the assignment.
They said they were going to do it. They should have got it done.
Just put it on my desk so I can sign it and take the picture.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do and say I got something done.
Meanwhile,
I don't care what's in it. I don't give a flying fuck what's in it.
Meanwhile, Obama was on the phone.
Yeah.
Calling people. He's doing town halls so he can explain it. Like, you're you're doing and your rallies, and that, he's just like, we're going to have great health care. We're going to take care of everybody.
It's
going
to be good. And that's also why the Obama health care plan is so hard for them to defeat and unravel, because Obama put and his squad put so much attention to detail into it.
Right.
You can't just body it. It's like, nah, because if you, it's like the dominoes. If you do that, then this, then that, then this, then that.
It took 2 years.
That's why it took bad years. Yeah. But Trump's like, yo, just give me some shit to sign. Like, yo, John McCain, like, just say yes so I can say, he's saying all that to say, you're supposed to do this. That's another thing. He really, again, back to what you said, Nye, about him not having any type of understanding, he thinks everybody just works for him.
Yes, that's exactly what
he thinks. My nigga, they don't work for
he
you.
He thinks that everybody, not only in his administration and for the GOP, but everybody in the government, like there was a statement that came out today that there was people in one of these damn departments, I'm trying to remember which one, where it was like, these people are disloyal to Trump, and they're going to clean house. But it's like, these people are, there's a lot of nonpartisan people who work in government.
Yeah,
like, they're not necessarily supposed to be
here for the president. They work for the government.
Right, and that's the part that somebody still hasn't explained to Trump. There are people who serve at the pleasure of the president, meaning he can appoint them or fire them or whatever. But ultimately, nobody except his immediate core staff, his advisors, works for him. They work for the government.
Yeah.
The fucking United States of America. And first and foremost, everybody's job. He's still complaining about Sessions recusing himself, like he doesn't recognize that Sessions had to recuse it. Like, it's just, like, he doesn't recognize, like, you first uphold the letter of the law, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights of the United States. You work for the people. This is not a corporation. We are not your consumers.
Yeah.
You technically work for us. You know what I mean? Like,
he's acting
look at it.
I'm going to fire you because you didn't do it.
You're a service person for the people. You know, so it's like,
I just need to get the fuck on.
Yeah, exactly. Get the fuck on out of there. I'm praying that Robert Mueller's going to put his game down. That's it. We're going to wrap it up.
Yeah. Oh. By the time this drops, happy birthday, Greg. My baby's birthday's on Friday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, boy.
Oh, one last day real quick, too. If you guys haven't, I highly recommend watching the Vietnam War. Ken Burns documentary.
Oh, yeah. All his documentaries are amazing.
Yeah.
It's 10 episodes, 18 hours of footage. It's masterfully done. I've watched all 6 episodes so far.
Mm-hmm.
If you can DVR it, great. It's a lot to digest. It's pretty gruesome, it's pretty brutal, and it's pretty honest. It's really, really incredible. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
Cool. Also, speaking of recommendations, read the autobiography of Gucci Mane.
Oh, yeah, I gotta start up on that.
It's very good.
And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got 3 ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast. Talk to you next week.